And Jeremiah writes, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." May God bless this reading, hearing, and the application of God's holy word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, you are a faithful God. You are a God of covenants, a God of promises, and you have always fulfilled your half of the bargain in our covenants that you have offered to us. But Lord, humanity has not been able to live up to their end of the bargain. And Lord, as we just sung, we've talked about the covenants you've made with Noah and with Moses. And Lord, we just, you know, now focusing on this covenant that's a prelude and leading us to the covenant that you've offered through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we focus on the covenant from Jeremiah that's no longer written on tablets of stone or written with a rainbow in the sky, but it's written on our hearts. Lord, we pray that our hearts may be open today to receive a word from you that may help us and strengthen us in our daily living, especially our journey through Lent. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 85 years ago this week, March 6th, 1933. I don't think anyone here remembers that day. But perhaps you've heard stories from your parents or grandparents about that Monday morning when all the banks in the nation were closed. This was a very difficult time in our nation's history. 7 days later, the President of the United States did something no president had ever done before. On March 12, 1933, at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, President Franklin Roosevelt sat in front of a microphone with a fire lit in the fireplace behind him, his dog Fala at his feet, and he had a little chat with the American people. It was his first of 30 fireside chats, and it came only 8 days after his inauguration. But it was a bold move using a relatively new technology. Until that point, presidents had rarely, if ever, addressed the American people in such a direct and intimate way. How things have changed. Roosevelt took to the airwaves to let the people know how the country was doing in the midst of the Great Depression, and millions gathered around their radios to listen in. The subject of that first chat was banking. FDR explained to the country in simple terms why so many banks had failed and why he had decided to close them down on March 6th, creating an extended week-long bank holiday. He then described the measures that Congress was taking to make sure that a banking crisis would never happen again. The president ended his chat by asking Americans to show confidence in their government by depositing money in their local banks when they reopened the next day. Miraculously, they did just that. Many who listened to the radio that evening trusted the president and put their money in the banks, and a crisis was averted. FDR had campaigned for president, promising a new deal for the American people, and he was determined to deliver on his pledge. The sincerity and compassion he communicated over the radio convinced many that he would give them a new deal, one that would contrast with the old deal which had given them the Great Depression. Americans got New Deal programs such as Social Security and unemployment insurance, price supports for farmers and a minimum wage for workers, insurance for bank deposits, and regulation of the stock market. Of course, Roosevelt's New Deal was not the first New Deal. If we look back a couple millennia, we find the prophet Jeremiah going through a great depression of his own. He and his country were under the thumb of foreign and godless powers. Religious faith had vanished. And into this spiritual darkness, God promised a new deal, speaking with the kind of clarity and compassion that FDR would use. The Lord promised to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. When you think about it, what boldness that is. But what intimacy as well. What sincerity. What a deal was being offered. And we should note, as we listen to this covenant and consider it, the contrast between the biblical old deal and this new covenant that God was offering through the prophet Jeremiah. The first old covenant was based on law. And the second new covenant being offered is through grace, is offered on grace. And the second was based on works. And the next, the second one, the new one, is on faith. The first old covenant was set in tablets of stone. And the second one is in the chambers of one's heart. In the first old covenant, God writes the law and we obey it, or else. In this second new covenant, this new deal that God is offering, God writes the law and then helps us to obey it. It's not an obey it or else type of thing. In other words, God, speaking through Jeremiah, says to the people of Israel and Judah and says to us today, have I got a deal for you? Most of us at some point are looking for a new deal. We'd love a second chance, whether at love or relationships, whether in our career or even our faith. We'd love to start the day over sometimes. God's good news message to us is that this is the day. This is the moment to cash in on a great new opportunity. We're not expected to live in perfection. We're expected to live in faith. We're not expected to live for ourselves. We're expected to live for God. Here are some of the provisions of this new covenant. One is the new deal of amnesty. We call it forgiveness. God promises to remove our sins as far as the east is from the west and to remember them no more. This is also a new deal of trust and intimacy. God promises to be faithful to us, to embrace us as his children. For we read in 1 John, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. This also is a new deal of power for living. God now offers us the strength to conquer sin, the power to move forward beyond our past to a new life. And this new deal is a deal of responsibility. It's not like the New Deal that was a free ride. FDR himself, at the conclusion of his first chat, warned Americans, quote, we have provided the machinery to restore our financial system. It is up to you to support and make it work. It is your problem no less than it is mine. Together, we cannot fail, end quote. David Steele, writing in Theology Today, interprets the prophet Jeremiah in part this way. The people assume the covenant is about being privileged. Jeremiah claims the covenant is about being responsible. The way Jeremiah sees it, those folks are acting just like some spoiled rich kid who's doing 90 in his Mercedes and figures the world better get out of his way. He'll do just what he wants. And daddy's prominence, daddy's checkbook, daddy's lawyers will handle any difficulties. It is this attitude that drives Jeremiah to distraction. It is a travesty, a mockery of the second covenant. It misses the point by 180 degrees. Jeremiah knows the covenant is for responsibility, not privilege. This new deal is reaffirmed by Jesus on the very night of his betrayal. He took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup later, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." The cup signified a new covenant with his followers, a new deal that brought forgiveness of sins, as well as a deep, personal, and intimate relationship. So what kind of deal do you want to broker with God? Whatever it is no doubt already covered under the provision of the new covenant and symbolized in the cross toward which we are traveling on our Lenten journey. We can gather as one people at the table, loved, forgiven, and intimately connected. And there's no better deal than that. Let's pray together. Lord, we often are looking for the best deal out there. We find this promise of this new deal through Jeremiah today that's written on our hearts. That, Lord, it's no longer something external, but it's something internal that you are talking to us through our heart today. And Lord, we thank you that Christ came to fulfill that covenant, but to even to enliven it and to live it out in even bolder ways than Jeremiah could have ever imagined. Lord, we just pray now that our hearts and minds may be prepared now as we move to the communion table to receive the elements, that we may remember the promises that you want, that you make to us, and the promises that you want to fulfill in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.